Anto Akara, a rights advocate and journalist with International Media, has made numerous visits to Kondamal district of eastern India's Orissa state to find out firsthand about the serious human rights violation and atrocities committed against Christians there. Violence against Christians erupted with untold savagery in Kondamal, with Hindu extremists blaming the August 23, 2008 assassination of Hindu leader Swami Lakshmanananda on Christians, despite Maoist rebels claiming the murder. Seven Christian men falsely implicated in the murder are still languishing in jail. Akara, who has written several books unveiling the injustice to the Christians of Kondamal, organized an event on March the 3rd at New Delhi's Constitutional Club, in which the wives of the seven men appealed for justice for their husbands. His upcoming book, Cry of the Oppressed, attempts to prove that the seven men were falsely implicated. To know about his latest efforts on behalf of these innocent people, we called Akara on his mobile phone in Bangalore.
The whole world has forgotten Kondamal. Especially there are seven innocent illiterate people in jail. Their only crime is they are Christians. Their only guilt. This is a trumped up murder charge. There was no shred of evidence against them. Even the judge who heard the case for years, isn't it? Remember, it was a fast track court, special court set up to try the case. The judge was on the verge of acquitting them. The man who defended these people, he is one of the tallest lawyers of Kondamal. He was the public prosecutor for the district from 84 to 1990. One of the oldest man, he said, the judge repeatedly, I'm quoting him, judge repeatedly asked the prosecutor, the government lawyer, why do you want to keep them in jail? What is their evidence? And, you know, I don't want to technically come into the contempt of court. The fact is that judge, everyone on earth knew, was not going to convict them. When he had almost completed the hearing, he was transferred before he delivered the verdict. And then a new judge took over, and within a few weeks, he just convicted them. And if you go through the judgment, it is a shocker. I showed to a senior jurist of the country, and he said, I'm really surprised, I'm shocked. How can a judge write a judgment like this? So there are problems. Now, the appeal has gone to the High Court. And unfortunately, it is yet to be taken up. It has been postponed and postponed and postponed. So there is no sight of any light at the end of the tunnel. So I thought it's a time to go public because innocent, illiterate people are languishing in jail. That is why I brought the voice of the innocent men to tell the world how they were arrested and what is the prosecution theory. I would say it's shocking that police claim to have recovered two guns from the houses of the innocent. Actually, they are illiterates. The only gun, it is not a gun actually, what was recovered was an old broken hunting gun with a barrel only. It was never used. The prosecution said they cooked up a theory that they recovered two muzzle loading guns, that means hunting guns. But when the judgment came, it became three guns. So actually it is one, prosecutor makes it two, and the judge makes it three. What kind of a judicial system is that? So I thought I should put this fact before the nation. So we have launched a website that is release7innocence.com, and the signature can be signed there. Each signature goes to the Chief Justice of India, the President of India, and the National Human Rights Commission, which is supposed to be the watchdog of human rights in the country.
Have you received any hits on the website that you have launched in favor
yes,
of this?
Yes, it is gathering steam. In 3 days, we are almost 200 now. There is a lot of timidity in the Christian community. I think they are so much afraid. I tell you, let me tell the world. We got the program. We got such a big group of celebrities. I call the patriarch of Indian journalism, Kuldeep Nair, 93-year-old man who started journalism with Mahatma Gandhi. And he's known as the finest journalist of the country. He canceled a wedding program in Udaipur, around 1,000 kilometers away from Delhi. He had gone with his wife. He preponed and came out to Delhi to attend this function. He comes with a walking stick and an aide holding his hands. And we had a couple of ministers, federal ministers, political leaders. But sadly, many of our Christian people were missed. They were shocked. So later I asked, tried to find out what went wrong. So one of my close friends said that Many were worried that if they come for this program, the government may take their photos and they might be persecuted. I think this fear is out of place. We must get out of this ghetto. This is a democratic country. You can speak. There is freedom of speech. There might be problems here and there, but I don't think it is all that bad. There are forces at work. Yes.
And your latest book, Cry of the Oppressed, was released at this gathering on March the 3rd. What is this book about, actually? Is it the case of these men that have been unjustly put behind bars?
Yes, 7 men. No. Yes, I mean, it's Cry of the Oppressed just symbolizes that. But there are two issues. Now, Cry of the Oppressed means the innocent are in jail. That is a cry, okay. But then why these people, why this farcical trial or this cooked-up case? Because there is a fraud. So this fraud leads to injustice, and those who are interested created this fraud that Christians killed the Swami. And to support that, these innocents have been framed to tell the world, to tell the world that the Christians have killed the Swami. So they got some illiterate, innocent Christians, and they have been convicted to perpetuate a fraud. So this is a twin, this is what you call the, both sides are there. One is on the, so one side is a travesty of justice. On the other side is a Himalayan fraud. Because the highest people at the highest level in the government are involved. I have named a few, and yet the investigation still continue. But I tell you, the book is not yet complete. I have the foreword from Kuldeep Nayyar, the patriarch of Indian journalism. But we are not using it still, because a couple of chapters more to be completed.
And you said you have been to Kandamal at least 23 times, if I am not mistaken, following these cases.
Yes.
What else have you done regarding them? You have written several books on them. Could you just tell us about that?
See, I was never interested in them. I went to Kandamal as a journalist. It has changed my life. It was a voiceless people. And as a journalist, I love telling the pitch to the, giving voice to the voiceless. That's what I have done. So I had a fight with the district collector, the head of the district, and told him, why don't you acknowledge those killings? Because I knew a few cases in which police have refused to register a criminal complaint. Unless a complaint is registered, people do not get compensation and there will be no prosecution of the culprits. So I took it as a challenge and wrote the first book called Kandamal, A Blot on Indian Secularism. That was in April 2009. That was really 7 months after the violence. It had its impact. The 5 murders I had highlighted, unacknowledged by the government, they had to concede. So they submitted an affidavit declaration to the Supreme Court conceding the 5 murders. I was happy. I was able to get $500,000 each to those families for the 5 families. But I never stopped there. So I went on. I wrote Shining Faith in Kandamal, chronicling the incredible witness. Then after 5 years, so that was initially 2 books. Then after 5 years, I came out with what they call the Early Christians of the 21st Century, the incredible witness. Because they, in the 5 years of suffering, their faith didn't diminish, but the faith was becoming stronger and stronger. And the speaks for itself. It was released by Cardinal Fernando Filoni, it, along with the cardinals, at the Golden Silver Jubilee of the CCBI. 150 bishops were there to witness the release. Similarly, the travesty of justice, the injustice, because there was practically no conviction. Innocent people were trialed. The judgment had not come at the time. So I came out with a book called Kandamal Craves for Justice, because there was no conviction, just 2 convictions in the 60-odd murders. 32 trials had been completed, just 2 convictions. Even the widows were forced to turn hostile in the court, so that is one thing. On the other hand, there was no compensation to these people. Everyone was playing football. The Supreme Court, to the High Court, to the National Human Rights Commission, all were involved. I would say the Human Rights Commission's record is terrible. They should be ashamed of themselves because they are the one of the worst culprits who whitewashed Kandamal. So that was the story of Kandamal Craves for Justice. And now comes third in the secular series, or the human rights series, Kandamal Abroad, Kandamal Craves for Justice. Now it comes the Cry of the Oppressed.
Now, Anto Akara, you have been lobbying with the CBCI at this general body meeting in Bangalore. Tell us something about it. What have you done?
No. I'm not lobbying. I tell you very frankly, I'm not lobbying. I tell you very frankly, church has its limitations. Indian church can best described as the silence of the lambs. Because it's a very political, and you've got a lot of legal issues. The church has its limitations. But I have been shouting because I feel I have a duty to shout. because the people have no voice. So this book has been received, made a lot of headlines. They call me. I had a release of the book, and then I addressed the bishops. And I'm happy they have woken up to the hard reality of Kandaman. Because everyone in the country knows that it was not Christians who killed this one. But to prove it, I have proved it in the book with the names, the masterminds behind the whole fraud, with concrete evidence, with the names, details of all those conspiracies, and the massive cover-up. So I have enlightened these people. Please wake up and stand up. This is time to speak up.
That was the first of a two-part interview with Anto Akara on his efforts to seek justice for the Christians of Kandamal in India's Orissa state. Tune in the same time next week for the final part of this interview. This has been The Backgrounder, a weekly feature of Vatican Radio's English Service for Asia.